Detroit today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. COVID has collapsed here in Michigan. I'm going to say that again, just for emphasis. COVID has collapsed here in Michigan. Since the peak of cases in late January, cases have dropped really precipitously since then. And that means masks are coming off across the state, including in our schools, and all kinds of other things are going back to normal. The CDC released new masking guidelines, relaxing recommendations for the vast majority of Americans. And if you go anywhere, I think, in the country right now, you notice that people are kind of acting like, hey, we really are through this, and it's time to go back to life as it existed before the pandemic. But my next guest says COVID is not really done with us yet. Michigan Chief Medical Executive Natasha Bagdasarian says, before we start acting like the pandemic is over or never happened, we need to prepare ourselves for possible future surges. Dr. Bagdasarian, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with this. Where does Michigan stand right now in terms of cases and deaths? The last time you and I talked, the picture was pretty bleak, and that wasn't terribly long ago. But today, it looks really different, which I think is a reminder that things are really fluid with the pandemic, and they can change almost on a dime.
Absolutely. When we look at the new CDC metrics, and the new metrics really take into account the things we feel are most important. So not just case rate, but also strain on hospital systems. And when we look at the new CDC metrics, most of the state is in a low risk situation, which is really good news for all of us. But as you just mentioned, the pandemic is not over. And we're really trying to communicate that out to the Michigan public by talking about the COVID pandemic response as a cycle. And it's not so much of a, will we see another surge? It's more a matter of when will the next surge be? And we really need to start thinking that way, that this is a relatively safer time, but there are going to be some bumps ahead of us.
So as I said in the intro here, right now when you go out, it really feels like most people are living their lives as if the pandemic is over or as if it never happened in the first place. Do you think we're moving too fast? Do you think we're easing up too much right now?
Well, I think it's very important to be able to communicate to the public that this is a relatively safer time. I think that through the pandemic, we in Michigan, people around the country in public health, around the world have done a really great job of communicating that things were high risk. And we have put out requests to use mitigation strategies. We've put out warnings that we're in a high risk period. And I think that we have to also be able to communicate when we're in a lower risk period. So I am okay with dialing down mitigation measures right now because there is less transmission going on in communities. But I just want people to understand that that will change, that this is a lower risk period. And so it's okay to maybe get together with family and friends. It's okay to take some, to remove those masks if people feel comfortable doing so and if they've evaluated their own risk profile, but with the caveat that things will change and we may need to dial up those mitigation strategies at some point in the near future.
So you said something there that I want to kind of emphasize. People assessing their own risk profile, I think, is a key part of this. So, for instance, if you're vaccinated and boosted and don't have other compromising health conditions, the decisions you make about what to do and what precautions to take might look different than somebody who maybe has not yet gotten the vaccine or didn't get the booster. And I think it's that calibration that we're counting on people to do, of course, to keep people safe and to keep the numbers low. But I think that's also the greatest source of worry. I don't know that a lot of people are making those kinds of calculations. I think what they're looking at is, well, the numbers are down, hospitalizations and deaths are down, so I'm good. I can take off the mask. I can do all of these other things and not worry. Is that one of your worries too? Is that people don't perform that kind of individual assessment of what their risk is?
Of course. You know, there's always that worry that maybe people will not take into account those other factors. But our role in public health is to give guidance and to give the best possible information to the public and then to allow the public to make decisions for themselves. Things have been very different in this pandemic where there have been much stronger messages coming out from public health. And in the beginning, there were closures and more stringent things than public health is used to doing. So I think we're also getting back to that usual model of public health where we give the guidance, the best possible information to the public, and then the public is really responsible for making those decisions. And decisions around masking, I think, have become a really hot button topic. And people have been asking for months now that they want to have the choice to make to decide whether or not to wear a mask in certain settings. And so what we're trying to do is give them the best possible information. So a few factors need to go into this. You mentioned your own risk profile. So whether you have other medical conditions, whether you're immunocompromised, the risk profile of people in your family or those around you, the type of setting that you're going into, how many people will be there, is it indoors versus outdoors, and then what's happening in your community. And I think that if we can put the best possible information out there in the hands of the public in this lower risk period, it just makes sense to let the public make those decisions for themselves. And again, one more little caveat, we do still have some settings where we do recommend mask use. So we do recommend mask use during isolation and quarantine, when you're in a congregate setting, like a long-term healthcare or correctional facility, or if you're in an area with a local or federal mask policy. So there are still some caveats where we recommend mask usage, but otherwise we really want to support the public's decision as to whether or not they want to wear a mask.
I'm talking with Dr. Natasha Bagdasarian, the state's chief medical officer. We're talking about the current state of the COVID-19 pandemic, the plummeting numbers, really, that we are seeing now in contrast to the soaring numbers that we saw earlier in the year. Give us a call and tell us how you're reacting to all of that. Are you masking still in public right now? Tell us why or why not. And give us a sense of how you are determining when it is appropriate to wear a mask or not and when you can go maskless. Tell us how you're calibrating all of the different inputs during the pandemic to determine what your own personal level of confidence, I guess, and security is to go back to life as normal. Are you eating in restaurants? Are you sending your children to school without masks, if that's allowed? What's the line that you're working with, and how do you determine where that line is right now? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page and put comments there, or go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. Before we get to listeners, Dr. Bagdasarian, I wonder if you can talk about your sense of when another surge might be most likely and how the state will need to respond, given the comfort that people are enjoying right now, not observing restrictions. How hard will it be next time to get people to do the things that they need to do to keep us safe?
Those are all excellent questions. When we look forward at times where we might see possible surges, we're really looking at changes in weather. So this virus really likes cold, dry conditions. So wintertime is definitely a time where we could see an increase in cases. Changes in what's happening across our state. So schools opening in the fall, that was a time where we've seen surges in the past. And so we could see that again in the fall of 2022. And then we also have to keep a very close eye on variants. So variants of concern could be another factor in a surge. And what the next variant will look like, it's really hard to say. It could be something that is more transmissible or it could be something that's more transmissible and then has other characteristics that make it concerning. So it could be something that is able to evade vaccines better, able to evade our therapeutics. And so that requires an element of horizon scanning, which we continue to do and looking to see what's happening in other states and other countries. We're keeping a very close eye on the BA2 subvariant at the moment and really watching how that is behaving in different parts of the world. And when we do see a situation that we feel is likely to affect our state negatively, we'll move into this readiness phase where we're really communicating out to the public that the situation is changing and that it's time to start thinking about dialing up those mitigation strategies again. I think this is all about communication and just really making sure that we are putting those messages out there and that people know what to expect. Rather than this sense of the pandemic is over and there's no need to worry about it, I think messaging that there will likely be a surge again. I think the best case scenario is that we can hold it off until the fall or winter. Worst case scenario is that BA2 starts behaving in ways that are concerning and we have to respond. And a lot of this, Stephen, depends on how much vaccinating we can do during this recovery phase. Mm-hmm. So Michigan is lagging behind nationally when it comes to overall vaccine uptake, especially in communities of color, especially among younger age groups. And unless we really do a good job of moving that needle, I don't think we will be in an optimal situation for the next surge. So we're really focusing on those vaccination communications during this recovery period.
Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go to John on the east side. John, what's on your mind?
Well, I still wear my mask when I go into the grocery stores and such. And one of the big problems with our workplaces is that we have huge crowds in them, and our employers require that you be vaccinated and or tested, and you wear a mask. And I was at the music hall last night, and a lot of the audience was wearing masks. Now, they don't all require them, but like the Opera House, they require you to be vaccinated and masked. And it becomes a huge issue with both patrons and employees. Mm-hmm. They hear the news. And I've contacted some of our local news media to say you can't just put a blanket statement out there that you don't have to wear masks anymore. Just like you have to wear shoes and shirts, you have to wear a mask.
Right. In some places, you're absolutely right. John, Dr. Bagdasarian, that gets back to this question of communication, how we make sure that people really understand not just what the rules are, but what the best practices are to make sure that people aren't still getting sick.
Absolutely. So just to go through when we recommend mask use right now, we recommend masking during isolation and quarantine. We recommend masking if you're in any sort of congregate setting, so long-term care, healthcare, correctional facilities. And we also recommend masking if you're going into a venue or an area that has a local mask policy. So if you're going to a venue or a concert or some sort of event that has a mask policy, we want you to comply with that mask policy. We also want to support the choice to continue masking. So we don't want this to be messaged out that we don't want you to wear a mask or please throw away your mask. That's not the message at all. You might want to consider masking, as I mentioned, if you feel that you're going into a setting where the risk of exposure is high. So if you're going into a crowded indoor setting and you think there may be a lot of unvaccinated individuals around you and you would like to mask for that reason, please do so. Please make that choice. If you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, that's another reason to continue masking in certain settings. And then, as I mentioned, taking a look at your own risk profile, the risk of those around you. If you are at high risk for infection, if those around you are at high risk for infection or severe disease, please continue to mask. So we are handing the decision back to the public. But again, the message is not that we want you to stop masking. It's make choices that work for yourselves and for your families.
Again, 313-577-1019 is the number. Let's go to Anthony in Southwest Detroit. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Good morning, Stephen. I just think I don't think we'll be back to normal per se very anytime soon, in my estimation, and especially from a socio-political standpoint, because I think the cat's out of the bag after this pandemic with so many things, like the emergency powers our government took advantage of, and you know, just the way people's businesses, schools, what have you, were allowed to be closed, and the coerced medication. You know, that's a whole other discussion, and the social media censorship. I don't think any of these cats are going back in the bag, no matter what normal is.
Anthony, appreciate the call and the perspective. I'm not sure. I assume by coerced medication you're talking about vaccines, but certainly, Dr. Bagdasarian, there are lots of things that are different about the way we live and the way we interact with each other and the way we interact with government. I wonder what you make of the, especially the way that government deals with and responds to something like this. We have learned a lot. There certainly have been a lot of mistakes. I mean, we continue to learn about the errors in judgment. I guess it is the best way to describe the things that happened in long-term care facilities for older people. I wonder what you at the state level are thinking about, though, the lessons that are drawn from all of this and how to be prepared, I guess, for a world, like Anthony says, that just is going to look different. It's always going to look different.
Well, I think we have all been through a shared trauma over these past 2 years. I think the pandemic has been hard for everyone. It's been hard for people working in healthcare. It's been hard for people working in schools. It's been hard for everyone, regardless of what your relationship with COVID was. And I think that, yes, things are going to be different. I think we're going to think about the risks of infectious diseases as a society a little bit more. But we do have to look back and really look at what are the lessons learned from this pandemic? How could things have been done differently? And how should we do things differently moving forward? And one of the big lessons for me is how do we strengthen public health so that, number one, the public health infrastructure, workforce, databases are there to be able to handle a public health threat like this in the future? And then number two, how do we reestablish that trust with the public? The last caller, I could hear the sort of distrust in his voice and in some of the questions he was asking. And how do we build back better so that we are partners in this? And so that there isn't this feeling that that information is inaccurate, or you know, conspiracy theories, or that everyone is, you know, has an angle and is trying to do things for some sort of political gain. How do we build back public trust between public health and the public, between our medical professionals and the public? And I think for me, that is the biggest thing that I want to take from this pandemic and really find a solution for.
Yeah. Okay. Natasha Bagdasarian, Chief Medical Officer here in the state of Michigan. Always great to have you here on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
It's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to discuss the significance of the child tax credit phasing out. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station. Your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.